Blog Talk Radio.
Like a small boat in the ocean, sending big waves into motion. Like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't say, wrecking balls inside my brain, I was screaming loud tonight. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm alright song. My powers turn on. Start right now. I'll be strong. I'll play my fight song. And I don't really care if nobody else believes. Cause I've still got a lot of fight left in me.
Hey, everybody. This is Dive Girl Deb coming to you live in our brand new show. I'm so excited. I have talked to a lot of people about my own personal journey over 30 years of being sick and dealing with chronic infections. And it's remarkable that I'm alive. And so many of my friends have been through a lot of what I've been through as well. So I had a friend of mine down in Northern California who got Lyme and was about a year ahead of me in the education curve. And she says, Deb, you need to go look at B-Venom therapy. And I said, okay. So I kind of poked around and I met this lovely woman named Amber Rose. And I went and sought her out on Facebook and we started talking and became good friends. And I just adore her. She's such a kind soul. And today we're going to just sit back and chat with Amber Rose and talk and, you know, find out what kind of questions we all have. So I want to turn it over and say welcome, Amber.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'm so happy that you're out here in our community and you're talking about chronic illness. One of the roles that I want to play for our community is to help educate people because I want to see our community recover and get healthy. And I think there's so much to be learned from you on this venue. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. And welcome to everybody listening or our special guests who are really listening. Everyone is a special guest. So I'm just
absolutely
going to share
right.
A little bit about how I kind of stumbled upon bee venom therapy or the use of honeybees to sting people. And we're coming up on my 22nd year anniversary. On June 23rd, 1993, I was sitting in my own backyard and I looked up to the heavens and I asked for a sign. The sign would be, what was I supposed to do with the rest of my life? That was the question I was asking. And the next thing that I knew, I was looking in several newspapers from the Washington Post, because I lived near Bethesda, Maryland, and I looked in the Sunday, Monday papers, and I circled a few part-time jobs. And when I opened the paper for Tuesday, June 23rd, all of a sudden, I never made it to the want ads. In the style section was a picture of a man holding his wife, and she was just like limp in his arms. And I thought, whatever this is what I want to spend the rest of my life doing. And I didn't know anything about the story behind the picture, but then I started to read the story, and then I looked up and I saw the title was Hope Stings Eternal. Instead of Hope Springs Eternal, with Hope Stings Eternal, they were making like a pun. But I thought, stings, that's interesting, must be bee stings. And because I vaguely heard about bee stings before for arthritis, but, you know, when you're young and you don't have arthritis, you know, it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. So today's the day when I want to focus on the fact that we don't want We want to be really in a present moment, and we don't want anything to go in one ear and out the other. We want to really listen to what's being said by everyone, and we want to take it in. And because life is so precious, we have to live each day as if it were our last day. So what I want to share with you is what I learned, and then I want you to take it with you in your travels wherever you go. So after reading this article about this woman who was stinging herself with MS, and then there were hordes and crowds of people that kept coming to her house. She had like a free clinic. And then I remembered that I was in a women's group, and there was a woman saying she had stung herself with bees for MS. And I thought, oh my goodness, I let that go in one ear and out the other. So I called her up and I said, I just read an article about this in the Post. I said, is that the lady you're going to? She said, yes. So I said, when's the next time you're going? Because I really wanted to try it because I had a bladder infection and I also had chronic pain left over from a car accident. That's why I wasn't working at the time. And so she was going down the next day. So I went along with her. And so my very first bee stings were on June 24th, 1993. I got 3 stings. Wow.
Great.
It changed my life. It totally changed my life. Totally. From that moment on, it was like starting over.
So you did an initial sting to your body, and what are the basic like symptoms that you were looking to get relief from?
Well, originally I thought that I was going because I had some chronic pain in my shoulders and my neck. But I also had this bladder infection that wasn't responding to antibiotics. So I had those going on. But also I had some MS patients, and they weren't getting well just using acupuncture. And so in the back of my mind, I was thinking, well, if something works for me, then I feel more comfortable doing it for somebody else. But if I don't get relief, then I'm not going to do it for someone else. You know what I mean? Because
I know what you mean because I'm
talk about something unless it works for me.
So. Yeah, I agree. I feel like I'm kind of the Mikey from the old Life commercial, and it's like,
right.
Oh, let's get Deb to try that. She'll try anything. And I'm like, yeah, I want to try it out on myself and experience it for myself, and then I'll see how it works for me. And I've been amazed. People who have followed me over the last 9 or 10 months have just watched me get better, you know, day after day.
Yeah, the bees are miracle workers, you know, really. They're really amazing. They're the most altruistic creatures on the planet, I believe. And even in death, they're still giving, you know.
Right.
Because they live on,
right.
Their spirit lives on within us. So
right.
They're very special.
It's like being the donor recipient for a heart or something that's going to stay with you and help to protect you for a long time.
Sounds like you read my book, because I say something like that in the book. I said it's like an energy transplant. You know, it's sort of like aerodynamically, bees are too heavy to fly, but they don't know it.
Well,
so they fly anyway, and they
right.
flap their wings 11,000 times a minute. That's why their lifespan is so short, because their wings disintegrate. Because
yeah.
they can't.
Well, one of the yeah. fellows in my bee club here, which is amazingly strong, we have over 200 members in the Lane County Beekeepers Association here, and they describe it as that the bees fly till they literally fly their wings off until they just fray them into nothing, and then
exactly.
they're kind of, that's a senior bee, right? So let's talk about your work that you've done for a while here. A lot of people will recognize this, the music from your and this is from your own website where you can Google foreveramberrose.com, Be Curious, and I'm going to put a link to that on the blog part of this show, which, by the way, the blog is working right now. You can just go into the chat session and and talk to us live while we're on the air. You can ask questions. And there's a lot of links on there that we're going to post throughout the show that you can refer to later. So tell us more about your work on your webpage here and your book. I love your book, by the way. I have it, and I loan it out to people to read. If people can't afford it, they can certainly ask their local library to purchase it and put it in their inventory so they can check that out. It's a really great community resource.
Also, your library can get the book on interlibrary loan. So they can, if they don't have it, they can, or if they don't want to buy it, they can get it from another library in their system, in their county or in another county.
Mm-hmm.
It might take a few days to get it, but you should be able to get it from a library. And personally, I
right.
give everyone permission to Xerox it. I have no problem if you can't afford it and you can get it from your library, you have my permission to Xerox it, because I want you to have the information. It's not about
that's
me.
That's right. That's
the
right.
Information.
That's right.
It's really
absolutely.
About
that's
getting the information out there and sharing it with people who need to know that bee venom is a very powerful medicine for autoimmune diseases, for chronic pain, for infectious diseases. I mean, now there, you see all this research about HIV and cancer and the nanobees using melatonin, which is a bee component, you know, and from the venom. But I mean, I was doing all that research anecdotally with cancer patients and HIV patients in the 1990s. So it's wonderful to me, you know, not that I would necessarily recommend, you know, injections or anything like that, but because I'm in favor of the live bees, you know, getting it, you know, like for real, the way it was really made. But the fact that Western medicine.
Right.
Go ahead. Yeah, the fact that Western medicine is sort of catching up is kind of funny to me.
Well, you know, we've talked a little bit about some of the venom components, and maybe you want to talk a little bit about the breakdown of the chemistry within the venom. But what happens is when that gets extracted through an electric shock plate on the front of the hive, then the venom drops down and it gets collected, and part of that processing degrades it. So tell us more about the components of venom.
Well, I'm going to start with melatonin, because I think maybe most of the people right now listening are Lyme patients, and so it's a very important with melatonin. There was a study done in 1997, so obviously we need to update some of these studies, but it was done by Lukey and Gadon, and we have it in our file section on healing Lyme with bee venom. You can look up the actual study itself, but they found a very powerful substance that melatonin is like kryptonite for Superman. Remember kryptonite? Like Superman was definitely afraid of kryptonite, you know, from
absolutely,
his planet.
Yeah.
So So melatonin is like that for the Lyme spirochete. Within seconds, the Lyme spirochete loses its integrity and its structure. The Lyme spirochete shows extraordinary sensitivity to melatonin in bee venom, and it's immediate and it's profound. So now
it'll permeate the blood-brain barrier as well. Am I correct?
No, melatonin doesn't. Acumen is another component. Acumen is the one that crosses the blood-brain barrier. And because it's smaller than melatonin. Now, it's possible down the road they may create synthetic melatonin that'll be smaller, but I'm just talking about the live bees. I know for sure that the apomin is small enough to cross the blood-brain barrier, and very often the spirochete, you know, crosses the blood-brain barrier too, which is why we have cognitive and, you know, central nervous system type issues and emotional
right.
You know, issues with
mm-hmm.
Lyme, so Lyme brain or fuzzy thinking or things like that. But, you know, I want to say that's also true for MS. Apomenis actually the main thing that MS patients need because it increases the conductivity of the nerves. So apomenin is especially important. It doesn't kill the sparkies, but it actually increases the conductivity of nerve function. So if people are having trouble walking, whether it's MS or Lyme or any ALS or any other illness, if it involves the nerves in the body.
Well, I personally have had a lot of neuropathy in my like my right leg especially, and had a lot of overall like creepy crawly nerve sensation, and I've stung my right leg now about a dozen times, and I'd say that easily 90% of my neuropathy is dissipated now. It just doesn't have that sensation anymore. I don't have the pain. It's been amazing.
Yeah, right.
So,
well, you know, bee venom really heals the body. And I'm going to say this in a very, it's not really one size fits all, but it's a philosophy about bee venom. Bee venom doesn't cure anything, but it helps the body heal itself. And I think that's a sign of, you know, really any good medicine is that it kind of teaches the body how to heal itself rather than just taking a medicine that does it for you. Then the body doesn't really learn how to do it.
Right.
So then you end up having to be on that medicine all your life. Whereas with the bees, if they teach you how to do it, it's like each of us has an inner physician, like Rip Van Winkle that's gone to sleep. So if you have a chronic ailment, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's chronic, if it's been there a while, that means your immune system has gone to sleep and it's not even recognizing, you know, that you have a problem. So if you think about Rip Van Winkle under that bridge, you know, we have to wake him up. We have to wake him up. It's not like Sleeping Beauty where, you know, the valiant prince comes in and just kisses her. That would be easy. That would be like a nice way of waking somebody up. But in this case, it's almost like if you could imagine a code blue and you imagine using the paddles to shock someone so that, you know, they wake up, so they're heart, you know, they're alive again. Well, that's what bee venom is, the equivalent of those paddles. You know, it's like shocking the body. It's a poison. It's an emergency. So the body has to wake up and deal with that emergency. The body can't be sleeping and being off dreaming about being in a Caribbean island or something. The body has to deal with that bee venom. It's a poison. And so the body has to wake up. And when the body's waking up, it breaks down the bee venom and I hate to say it, but it's as an afterthought, the body heals anything else that's gone awry.
Right.
So.
Right.
It's because of
I think I've heard you use the term that we're going to create a healing crisis in the body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a healing crisis. It's used in acupuncture and homeopathy. It's like a wake-up call. It's like we really have to shock that body and wake it up. And the only way, you know, actually in homeopathy, Hahnemann, the father of homeopathy, said that you can't cure anything that's chronic. You have to make it acute. So, I mean, somebody could say, oh, well, I have a chronic disease, so forget it, I'm never going to get well. But you see, with the bees, we create an acute situation where the body has to respond. It's an emergency. You could die from anaphylactic shock if you don't respond, you know, to that bee venom.
Mm-hmm.
You have to break it down.
Right.
You have to heat it up. That's why we get red. You have to dilute it. That's why we get swelling. And then itching is sort of like the byproduct. It's like later when it's broken down and new blood comes into the area, that's when the itching begins. So the itching is actually a good sign at the beginning when people itch, because it means that the bee venom has been broken down and new blood is coming back into the area.
That's really great. I know I personally, the itch was really bad for me for probably about 3, maybe 5 weeks, and then it just quit. And I iced a lot, and ice really helped me get through the itching. I did do a sample where I stung each of my forearms, one on the right, one on the left, and I scratched the one on the left, and I never touched the one on the right because I wanted to see really how much the difference it was. Now, let me tell you, the one that I itched, the itch was 5 times worse. It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was so much worse. So just don't touch
it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the problem is when you're sleeping and your body's itching and then you scratch yourself while you're sleeping and you don't even realize you're doing it. What I had to do was put on gloves at night so that I wouldn't scratch. You know,
that's a
for
good
my
idea.
First month,
right.
Yeah, I put on gloves because that way I didn't, you know, if I tried to scratch, it wasn't very effective. And then it woke me up, so I stopped myself from itching. But
it is a short-lived period of time. It doesn't last forever. I don't itch anymore when I'm stung, so it's just a period of time. You'll get through it, and it really does get better. When you hit about 2 months in, it's amazing how the world just opens up.
Yeah, it's like you have your life back, you know. Start to see glimmers of hope.
Right. Well, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said the difficulty with Lyme is that you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel because nobody can help you find the right tunnel. And, you know, my attitude is to just show me the tunnel and I'll do the work from there. But it's been really frustrating with all the information that's out there. You know, I've looked at a lot of treatments and a lot of styles of treatments from a lot of different type of practitioners. And, I mean, I like a good, solid, paleo or organic diet. Personally, I think that's a great foundation for you to rebuild your body. And then, you know, detoxing is critically important because you're going to have a little bit of herks with any kind of effective treatment. And one of the things that we do in Bevin, and we start really slow so that the patient doesn't have a heavy herks. And, in fact, I've had some of those mild herks on Bevin on any treatment. It's been really gentle working with my body.
Right. And
so why is vitamin C so important in the detox?
Well, it's not so much in the detox portion. It's in the actual stinging. When you're stung by a honeybee, it stimulates the body, and specifically the adrenals, to make cortisol. Now, not cortisone. Cortisone is something that comes externally that's gotten maybe from a cow or, you know, somebody else, not necessarily human, and they make it into prednisone or cortisone shots or pills or something. We're talking about the body's own natural cortisol. And so when you're stung by a bee, it forces the adrenal to make cortisol. Now, one of the ingredients to making the cortisol is vitamin C. So you need 3,000 milligrams as a minimum in your body in order to help the body, help the adrenals make the cortisol. If you do not have enough vitamin C in there or any vitamin C in your body, what will happen is that your body won't be able to make the cortisol, and it'll be an emergency, and then you either get systemic hives or you go into anaphylactic shock. So that's why the vitamin C is so important, because if you sting someone with a bee and they don't have enough vitamin C, it's the process that the adrenals go through so frantically to make the cortisol doesn't happen. So that's why people go into anaphylactic shock, or they get high, which is kind of like a precursor.
Right.
It's like a systemic reaction. So that's why the vitamin C is so, so important, because it's it not only supports the adrenals and prevents adrenal burnout, but actually you don't want to go into anaphylactic shock. And so without that vitamin C, there's that potential.
Right. That's absolutely critical to make sure that we're in adequate levels. And we know vitamin C is water soluble, so I
tend to
take mine at least three different times throughout the day with plenty of water. I also have one of those vitamin C water supplements. It doesn't have any sugar or additives in it. It's just a mineral supplement that's loose, and I add that to my lemon salt water that I drink all day. And then I like to use fresh lemons also in my beverages. Mm-hmm. There's a small amount of vitamin C there, but it's nice and fresh. But having enough C is critical.
Absolutely. You know,
and
I
of course,
say
that cortisol.
Right.
The cortisol production is. Go ahead.
Yeah. Most of the phone calls that I get where people are, not seeing results. So I'll get a phone call and say, I've been doing bee venom therapy for 3 months or 6 months, and I'm not seeing any results. And I say, how much vitamin C are you taking? Because that's always my first question. How much vitamin C are you taking? And they say, well, I drink orange juice. And it's like, orange juice is like 80 milligrams. You're never going to get enough with your diet. You know, the way that our soil has been depleted, you're never going to get enough with diet. So that's why I recommend, doing some kind of extra supplementing. And as you said, I agree, doing it over the course of the day because it is water soluble. So, you will excrete it. So that's why you want to either have time released or you want to do it 3 times a day.
Hey, we have a couple of callers on here. I'm going to bring this first person on, and we'll just see what their question is really quick, and then we'll move on to another subject, okay?
Sure.
Hi, caller. Who am I talking to? Hello?
Did you open up my line?
I sure did. This is Dive Girl Deb.
Hi. It's hard to tell which line you've opened up.
Okay. Who are we talking to today?
Hi, this is Fran Toller. How are you all?
Oh, hi. Hi, Fran. How are you, sweetie?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm 6 or 7 weeks into stinging after restarting after I found you guys on Facebook because I was running into issues with my super haphazard method.
Right.
So let's see. Do I have a question? Mostly I was just here to listen because it's really great. I've been, paying close attention. I have ordered Amber's book. I decided I can afford it. I've had to go really, really slowly because I've had some strong systemic hive reactions, but they seem to have calmed down. Now, when I start to get hives, I just tell my body, oh, it's really not that big a deal. So
that's great.
Kind of my approach. And, I'm in a little bit of a slump. Like the last 4 or 5 sting sessions, I have felt really low energy instead of that high energy buzz I was getting for a while, but I'm fine with it. I'm sure it's just part of the process. Because I've had to go, I guess one question I've had is I tend to be impatient and overly eager to progress. And I have a really unfortunate case of interstitial cystitis, like chronic bladder pain and problems and constant infections. So still thinking I need to wait 3 or 4 more weeks before I sting off my spine, but it's because I'm only at 4 stings right now. But I guess, and the reaction I had also, I had done one sting on an abdominal scar, so I'm a little bit scared to go back anywhere from the spine. But I guess in terms of treating that bladder at some point, because it's kind of killing me right now, I'd love to hear what Amber has to say in terms of guidance about when and how to move into treating that.
Well, I was stung in my pubic hair on the very first day. Two stings.
And you lived through it.
I lived through it, and actually within 4 hours, all my bladder symptoms that I had for 3 months that no antibiotics were touching, they all went away in about 4 hours from those stings. And I looked at my watch, as any good acupuncturist would do, to see what time it was. And it was right as we were entering the time of day for the bladder. There's a specific time of day for the bladder. Actually, we're in it right now. Well, we're actually in daylight savings time. So we're almost in it because you'd have to subtract an hour. But it was basically the 3 o'clock time from 3 to 5 is the time of day for the bladder. And exactly at 3 o'clock, all my bladder symptoms went away. And it was about 4 hours after I was stung. And I was stung in the pubic hair. And I personally would say, I know that you did one, you know, sting on your scar in the abdomen. But personally, so I think as long as you stay on the trunk of the body, it's okay. You could even just do a test sting. But I would do it in the pubic hair. And I would do it, if you're just doing one, I would do it just like kind of right in the center.
Okay.
Not too low, not too, you know, it could be just even just at the beginning of the pubic hair, but definitely in the hair. And right in the center line, which would be the conception vessel. But it's basically, it's a line that goes from your perineum up through your belly button, you know, and up straight up.
Mm-hmm.
The front of your rib cage, but basically I would highly recommend that. And you know, I have to tell the audience I have a very special connection to France because she lives near or works near Bethesda, which is where I had my free clinic, and she originally contacted me to see if she could do a consultation with me, and I'm no longer in Bethesda, Maryland. And I invited her to join our Facebook group, and that's part of how you got to us. But so I feel
it is
a connection to you. So if your body, since we have this special connection, if your body is even similar to mine in some way, you know, I would highly recommend, even if it's just what we call a testing, where you take the stinger out right away, get a little bit of that venom into that pubic hair area and see if you notice any difference. Because actually, although our protocol is to sting on the spine, if you stay on the trunk of the body, you're really okay. As far as all of my 55,000 patients that I've treated, you know, that basically I say to people, stay on the trunk of your body. You know, with Lyme, that we've been focusing on the spine where the nerves come out. But you can experiment. In your particular case, you can experiment and see if you do a testing there, how you handle it. And if you handle it all right, then maybe the next time or the time after, you know, you could do a real sting.
Great.
In the pubic hair.
And well, I love being adventurous, so that sounds good to me. And also, you know,
it worked for me. So
I have 10 years of just, you know, awful bladder issues constantly. So pushing that towards something better would be just great.
Keep us posted on your progress and how you're dealing with this. It'll be fun to watch. I think you're going to be amazed at how much better you'll feel.
Yeah, well, I already had one big boost where I had, like, superhero energy for about a week. I crashed pretty good, but it was still thoroughly enjoyable.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, honey. Well, we'll talk to you later. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, that was really fun.
That was. One of the things that came to mind while she was speaking is, you know, when we get to super high and we feel really good, and then she said the next week she crashed, it's really important to befriend all of our symptoms, you know, whether they're bladder symptoms or eye symptoms or, you know, back pain or knee pain or whatever it is, brain fog. If we start to resent them, then
right.
It's like what you resist persists, you know. So if we can, it's easier said than done. I'm not saying it's easy, but if we can go, okay, I'm just hurting, or okay, you
right.
know, I'm having a healing crisis, or okay, I'm, you know, today I'm feeling, we take it one day at a time, just for today, I'm feeling really crummy, and I feel like I'm lying in bed, and so that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to
yeah.
rest up,
or,
and I'm going to do my detox.
Or even if you just did a sting session and you feel like you want to take a nap, then go take a nap.
Yeah. That's right.
That's what
your
body needs. Right.
Right.
So
right.
Why is it that we want to stay primarily on our back when we begin? I mean, we like to recommend to people in our protocol to stay on their back. Can you explain why we begin there?
Okay. In general, when I started out, I recommended staying on the trunk of the body, which included the front, like the abdomen.
Right.
I've noticed with Lyme, it seems to be more effective if you're staying on the spine because you're getting to all the nerves. And that's why you want to be fairly close to the spine. You don't want to be 2 inches or 3 inches out. You want to be about an inch out, you know, on either side of the spine. And so, therefore, what's happening is you're getting the nerves. You're,
right.
you know, I mean, there are acupuncture points there, but the key that we're going for is getting those nerves, which then go to all parts of the body. And the truth is really that the venom is systemic in terms of that once it gets into the bloodstream. I mean, it goes through the whole body anyway. But it's the safest to sting the trunk of the body, whether it's a couple of bladder stings or staying on the spine, safer than going to the extremities and going to the head or the neck. The only time
right.
that I've ever heard of anybody going into anaphylactic shock was when they were stung on the crown chakra. They were stung on the very top of the head. And I think sometimes what happens is when people, you know, I'm an acupuncturist, so, you know, forgive me for saying this, but sometimes when people are acupuncturists and they become practitioners and they think like an acupuncturist, and for that first month
right.
or two, you can't think like an acupuncturist. You have to follow the protocol. So, you know, thinking, oh, well, if I were going to put a needle in this person, I would do the, you know, the crown chakra, I'd do the top of the head first on the first treatment, you know. No, not with bees. And with bees, it's
right.
the bees are the big guns. I take out the bees when the acupuncture really hasn't been working. So the bees are much more powerful than acupuncture. So
right.
you really shouldn't be stinging. I don't usually like the word should. I'd be very upset if somebody stung the head or the neck. If you sting the neck, you're going to get really big hurts if you have Lyme
right.
and
right.
the head as well. So that's why we stay away from the neck and the head. With people who don't have Lyme, you get more of a healing crisis, really, so to speak, with the neck and the head. And when you sting the hands and feet, arms and legs, people will say, oh, I have arthritis in my hands, so I'm just going to, my hands are hurting, so I'm just going to start on my hands. And their hands blow up, you know?
Right.
Because it's bothering
and well,
them.
And then they give up. Small area. Well, and then it's a
yeah.
small area, so it doesn't have
it
a place to swell into. I mean, if you sting
right.
on the back,
the
that's like a football-sized
right.
heel where it can swell up. So
right.
let's
so,
take another caller really quick. Really quick here and
okay.
see who's been waiting on the phone here. Okay, so 847 area code. Who do we have on the phone today?
Hi, this is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi. How are you guys? I believe you picked my call.
Woo! I'm so glad. Cindy,
we're happy to have you.
We met in Arlington, Virginia at the May Day protest, and she is a darling delight. I adore her. And she's like, Deb, you're tell me more about the bee venom. I want to hear about the bees. And so I got her enrolled in my group, you know, apitherapy to treat Lyme and co-infections. And she accepted our 2015 BVT challenge, and she started on the bees. So tell us, what's your question, or tell us about your journey, Cindy?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm up to 8 stings.
Wow.
So I'm just going to hold there, I think, for a while. Because when I reached that point, then I could feel, you know, I was a little tired and had a little herxing and stuff. And I'm like, okay, I'll stay there for a couple, you know, maybe for a little bit before I move on. But my question is that a couple of my bees, I have found them, like, laying on the ground, like, shaking and acting all crazy. And I had one in my bee buddy this morning that was doing that. And so I wondered if you have seen that before. You know, do I use those bees? The one that I found on my front porch that was doing that, I captured it, I put it in a jar, and it did end up dying. And, you know, it's like it looks like a neurological thing. You know, it kept
coming
up, you know, flipping it on its back, and it was just going crazy.
Well, I'm wondering if there were any chemicals nearby, or maybe they got into some, they were loose, they were out of a bee buddy or something?
Yes.
Maybe somebody else next door was using Roundup or something. It really sounds like they got like some kind of chemical poisoning or something. But theoretically, that shouldn't, it might affect their honey, but it doesn't affect the venom that's already been produced, because that venom was produced long before that they had that. So if those bees actually are able to sting, sometimes, you know, believe it or not, dead bees can sting if their stinger mechanism is intact. I mean, I feel sad that they did get into something that sounds like it was a, you know, a poison or a toxin of some kind of chemical spray from a neighbor's yard or something, because it sounds like you probably wouldn't use that yourself. But
my husband just bought a thing of stuff to put on our yard because he's sick of all the weeds and stuff in the yard. So we got this really great stuff to put in the yard, and I'm like, are you kidding me? This year you're going to worry about the yard? Like, you're going to kill all my bees. He's like, oh, it's not going to hurt the bees, you know. He hasn't put it out yet.
Okay. Well, that's good. So, but it might have been in your next door neighbor's yard, so.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I wondered about that. That's what I thought. I'm like, I wonder if that is, or if it was normal. I haven't had them long enough to really.
I've never seen it. So it doesn't sound normal to me.
Okay. Yeah. Thank
so
you.
It sounds like somebody next door probably used something like Roundup or something on their yard, and your bees kind of went in that direction. So you might end up, having that more often. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I was curious, how it is that you got started into bee venom? I mean, tell us, like, what your process looked like.
Getting started?
Right.
I did the tough sting and the other sting, and then I did the 2-2-2 the first week. And then I rested a couple days, and then I did the 4-4-4, and then I did 6-6-6, and then the next week.
Oh, wow, you ramped up quick.
Yeah. I read the protocol. I thought that's what it was, and then I read on yours where you, like, stayed at two stings for one. I'm like, wow, I bet I maybe did this too fast. You know, I'm like, I don't know, you know, because I had read it and I printed it and then I couldn't find it and, you know, the Lyme brain going on. And but right. When I did the 888, the third time I did the 8, I was like, okay, that's too much, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, if I just stay at the 8 and don't go up, I should be okay. So, yeah, I stayed with the 8 this week. I did 8 and then 8 again, and I've been feeling good, and I really feel like it is treating my brain infection, which I'm so excited about.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
And that's probably the Akamin crossing through into the blood-brain barrier. So we need to thank the Akamin that's inside the bee venom. You know? It really makes a difference.
I can tell you that I personally, over time, you know, I didn't do it until about 4 or 5 months in. And I have 8 major gene defects and 8 minor ones, and so I have detox problems, but I went really, really slowly, and then I worked my way up, and I can tell you, I started doing some head stings in different places, and this is a very advanced topic, which we'll get to later at another time on another show. We'll talk about head stings, but please don't try this if you're a beginner or even intermediate. We don't want you to cause, you know, a really super healing crisis in your system, and we'll work you up there slowly. But I tell you, when I started doing some of those head placements, my brain fog really dissipated right then, and my cognition soared. So I think there's a really great fundamental principle to this venom and how it really does enhance brain function. And even like when I started stinging in my shoulders below my cervical area, my upper shoulder region, I started getting improvements in brain function right then.
Wow.
Well, that's really great. That's great.
But typically what we want to do, Cindy, in our protocol is that we want to do one sting in a full session when we start, and then like on a Monday, and then on Wednesday, if we did fine and we didn't hurt badly, we might step up to 2 stings per session, and then on that Wednesday, and then maybe on Friday, perhaps we'll step up to 3, but most people want to stay there for a little while. And then the fall, we'll take 2 days off. And then the following Monday, we might do 3 stings. You typically want to add 1 sting per session as you can tolerate it. But most patients need to go pretty slow and take their time building up.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, honey, well, we're going to move to another caller now. Thanks so much.
Yay.
I appreciate your calling in.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Thank you.
Wow, that's really important to learn from other people, and I'm sure that we all have questions about how to manage some of these situations.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun to learn about this, and you know, this is what we're all doing as patients. We're not specialists in this, and we're kind of researching this ourselves. We hope everybody does their own due diligence and learns about this and gets into it with their own informed consent. So let's talk. What's tomorrow that's going on for you? This big 22-year anniversary.
Well, it's the anniversary of my first reading about bee venom for MS. So that's my anniversary of just actually reading about it, making some calls, and making arrangements to go down and get stung. So that's the anniversary. In a sense, it's as big of an anniversary as the bee sting, because it was that article that really changed my life. And really that, if you want to call it a prayer or, you know, asking the heavens for a sign, I mean, to me, that's as big of a, you know, taking a risk and just really asking for help. And I got it. I got the help in the form of an article. Now, it could have just gone in one ear and out the other, but this time I really listened. And so I made arrangements to go down the next day. So I was really excited. And when I got those 3 stings, I got the testing, and then I got 2 more. I was flying, like so euphoric. I had this euphoria that I just, this sense of well-being that all was right with the world. It was almost like peace on earth, you know. It was just like the way that you think it would feel in heaven if you believe in heaven, you know. It was just this like, oh my gosh, everybody's wonderful. I love everybody. It was just this euphoria. It was like a high that I never experienced because I don't do drugs. So I guess maybe that's what people feel. But I felt sort of a natural high from the B venom.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about because when I do head stings, I get this supernatural euphoric high feeling, and it's like everything in the world is level and right and in place, and I am in complete harmony in the right frequency with the world. It's phenomenal. It's just amazing.
You know, I think the word frequency is really important because this is really on some level vibrational medicine. I mean, we can break down the components and say what does what, but there's something, when you have the live bee, you have the frequency of that bee flapping her wings 11,400 times a minute to defy gravity, you have that vibration. And that vibration is in all the honeybee products, not just the venom. It's like in honey, pollen, propolis, royal jelly. So, you know, I just really think that it's sort of that combination of really the power of the venom and also the frequency at which the bee vibrates at. It vibrates at that 11,400 times a second vibration. And so it's really vibrational medicine, which is why I think we get that partly euphoria feeling, is that we're vibrating at a level that most people don't get to vibrate at in their lifetime. You know, it's really magical. It doesn't necessarily last forever.
But you kind of get this, like, afterwards, this feeling of, like, I'm just really good and everything is right. And, you know, you can have somebody come up and yell at you during that time, and you're like, oh, yeah, whatever, dude. So, so we have about 7 minutes left on the show. I want to make sure that people know about your book, Be in Balance, that that's available on Amazon.com, that we can also visit Amber's own website, Forever Amber Rose. And she's a contributor to my bee venom group called Apitherapy to Treat Lyme Disease and Co-Infections, Eugene, Oregon. And if you can remember that, then you probably aren't sick. But get a hold of me and I'll help you find it. We're going to try to do our next session, which is tomorrow, will be a two-hour session. Today was kind of a test run for us to figure out the system and have a really great conversation. Tomorrow's going to be how to start bee venom, and we're going to talk in depth about the actual protocol. There's a right way to do this and a wrong way to do it. And we want to make sure that you're successful. We want you to do it the right way. And I will say that I and Amber and the people that administer other bee venom groups, we do adhere to that protocol. I know it's hard to read materials when you have Lyme, and so us talking about on the radio is going to be the baseline foundation for the rest of our series of bee venom practitioner protocol. So we're going to teach you right up front how to do this properly, and I'm really excited to bring that to everybody.
And
so Amber,
these shows will be archived and saved, so if someone hasn't had a chance to listen at the actual time, they'll be able to listen later. We'll be able to point people to listening to these shows, so they will be saved. So it's not just
absolutely
on the radio,
right,
and then it's gone. Everything will be recorded and saved and available, you know, for people to listen to.
And we will have a schedule of future. Go ahead.
On my website, I have some links to 9 hours of free podcasts. So those are similar to a radio show, but you can listen to it at your leisure. You can download it or you can just listen to it, click on it, listen to it, and then, you know, stop in the middle if you have something else to do. But there are 9 hours of free podcasts on my website, and there are links to get there. So, and my book is advertised there. There's also a story about two Lyme patients, husband and wife, and it was from 2003. Sorry. And it was a newspaper article written in Naples, Florida, where I was living at the time. So, you know, feel free to check out the website because it has a lot of interesting things on it.
There are, and I've listened to all your podcasts. I think they're fabulous, and your testimonials. I mean, at the end of the day, your testimonials are kind of ongoing research in the community. And the reason that I created the BBT Challenge is because I think that if patients right now that are sick with just about any chronic illness, if they start bee venom, by the end of the year, we're going to have a healthier community that are better activists for Lyme awareness and education and for promoting the wonderful healing powers of bee venom. So I think this is going to be a health revolution for us, and our new radio show is going to promote how to do this properly, and we're very excited to have this new venture. So, and I'm super revolutionary
because I think this medicine is really revolutionary, and we want to have a revolution, you know, for the Lyme community, you know, to get well, you know, even if the doctors haven't caught up with us yet. You know, it's we're taking our health into our own hands, you know, and we're not waiting necessarily for the doctors to be on board with us.
And you don't have to have, right. Well, and if you go talk to your naturopath or your Lyme literate MD or even your GP, print up a copy of the protocol. It's listed on the top of my Bee Venom group and as well as on the top of most of the other ones. It's a great protocol. And print it up, take it in, and talk to them about it. And we can help educate these folks, and they can, from their perspective, they can monitor you over time and track your progress. And who knows, we might be able to help another patient out there by sharing that information with them and educating our Lyme docs about this too. So that's how the revolution happens, is that we all share information and our experiences.
Right. Right.
And Amber, you've got 22 years of experience.
Yeah, I have a doctor, the doctor who was actually treating this MS patient that I had first told me, and she and her husband brought me down to get stung the first time on June 24th. So, but her doctor was trying to use the injectable venom and realized it wasn't strong enough. And so that's why she was doing the live bees. But what happened was I ended up doing acupuncture out of his office, but he sent me so many patients. He was sending me 50 patients a week because I had a free clinic. And so
wow.
I was getting referrals for my live bees, and I never charged. It was all donations. And sometimes, you know, I in 2 or 3 hours of seeing 50 or 100 people, I maybe only had $5 in my donation basket, you know, because the people who tend to need this treatment don't really have much money.
That's right.
You know,
I'm spending $32 a month to buy bees from the ranch in California,
mm-hmm.
and that's
right.
a sustainable sum to me. So
yeah,
We're just about out of time here. I really want to thank you, Amber, for your time today. And I always learn something when I get near you or hear your voice. And so I'm always
mm-hmm.
open to that. And our next session, we're going to have some other people who have experience well beyond mine on bee venom. And together we're going to help heal our community.
I look forward to it.
I think our fight song is going to be the fight song of Lyme patients everywhere. We're going to get people better, and we're going to get them off of these nasty pharmaceutical drugs and help them get their life back. It's so heartwarming and such a gift to me to hear these accounts. So I'll talk to you very soon, dear.
Okay.
And
sounds great.
We'll do this again. All right, honey, we'll do this tomorrow.
All right. Thanks so much. Blessings to everyone listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.